Hello everyone, welcome to the pinken.com Norwich City podcast on this delightful Monday afternoon. It is chucking it down, it's grey and it's gloomy, but we're in possibly the warmest room in Norwich, I think, to bring you our latest podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. I've got with me Head of News here at Archant in Norfolk, Ian Clark, and Chief Norwich City Correspondent Paddy Davitt. Gentlemen, good afternoon, welcome.
Thank you, welcome to you.
Yes, it is warm, I can confirm.
It's lovely, isn't it?
Toasty, that's what it is. And we're all feeling pretty toasty because Norwich won a game. Yes. And at Carrow Road. No. Yes. It'd been exactly 3 months to the day Norwich City had last won in front of their own fans. And finally, they put all that to bed with a 3-1 victory over Sheffield Wednesday. Of course, it was also their first win in 8 league games. It's been pretty tough recently, as most listeners to the last podcast we did will testify. It got pretty gloomy. Not so much now, though, is it, Clarky? Happiness and light.
I mean, we are yo-yo fans, aren't we? So it's either really up or really down. But that 15 minutes between 6:15 and 6:30, I'm getting my times wrong.
Good maths, Father.
6:15 and 6:30 on Saturday. It might be sort of a pivotal time in the season. I mean, clearly something was said. I don't know whether cups were thrown or whatever. But hair dryers were blown around, but they just looked a completely different side second half, didn't they?
They did. And I don't know how much Daniel Farke said about it, but I know James Maddison, and you can listen to all of James Maddison's post-match interview on the podcast feed on Audio Boom or on pinken.com. He said there was no real shouting or throwing, but it was kind of a pick-me-up and everyone chiming in and just getting a bit of fire in their bellies, which they have been missing in recent weeks. And James Maddison said it himself.
Yeah, almost. I mean, Farke did actually go into that, in quite a fair amount of detail post-match, and he basically, said it was sound bites like hold your nerve. I fully trust what you boys are doing. You shouldn't really be 1-0 down at half time. Felt they'd lost their nerve a little bit. Some of the younger lads when it went 1-0 because of, not purely because of the 45 there, but because of, as you alluded to earlier, the context of the run they're on, the winless run they're on, the lack of confidence, the fragile nature of everything they've tried to do. That all seemed to coalesce after Rhodes' goal, and then from that point to the half time they were very poor, and there was a few boos at half time, and I looked up from my laptop and could see the body language, the heads were down. Maddison was one of those, actually, trooping off down to the tunnel, here we go again. And as Clark has just said there, it was almost like, right, what have we got to lose kind of vibe now? Let's just go out, have a crack, played with far more tempo, far more aggressiveness, intensity. I think allied to Wednesday, a bit like Norwich, are in one of these runs where they can't buy a win, and they maybe slightly took their foot off the gas and let Norwich back into it. But once they got back on level terms, it was only going to be one winner. And I just hope now, if there's one thing that comes out of that, far more than just another 3 points, is, look, we need to play this aggressiveness with this tempo, with this intensity, and if they do that, then they will definitely score goals in this team, in this league, because any team that has a Maddison and a Pritchard and an Oliveira getting plenty of service will score goals. And what I liked, again, defensively, they were, as soon as they got something to hold on to, you saw closer, you saw Hanley as well. They were really totemic figures there, because Wednesday threw a big lad on, they went long, and you wouldn't say Angus Gunn really had too much to do when it went 1-1. So, to me, if they can start at Leeds as they finished that second half, then I'd be fairly confident they could get something there,
Yeah, seeing that more consistently would be the key. And we've obviously seen this great run from Norwich earlier in the season too. We speak a lot about possession and philosophy, but it's that other stuff around it, which it's not like Daniel Farke doesn't want them to do it. He wants the aggression. He wants them to be a bit more direct with the ball and have that energy and tempo.
And I think direct's the word for me, Paddy. Used some great words for the things we hadn't been doing that we started doing. And I just think that the goal that Pritchard just ran literally straight, didn't he? Straight from the middle to their box, had the shot, which obviously then went to Maddison. And around us, we're not the most vocal part of the ground, but we're always saying, just go direct, just run straight, run at them, take them on. We bore each other with keep saying it, but defenders don't like being run directly at, do they? Because you're probably going to win a foul, you're going to get past someone. or you know, the worst you're going to do is going to get robbed. But if you go for it, and I just think that going for it, the directness was just what we've been waiting for.
There are lots of positives to talk about and positive performances too, but this seems a neat segue to just bring up Josh Murphy and get that dealt with now, because he is one of those players you would expect to be able to run directly and really cause defences problems. And you know, his movement off the ball at times was good on Saturday, I thought, but ultimately the performance, his own performance level wasn't where it needed to be, and Norwich improved mainly because they replaced him at half time, it has to be said. And I mean, where are we with Josh? Because to me it's just a confidence thing. Yeah. You take him out for a few weeks and try and reintegrate him, and you can maybe get him going again.
I think that's right. He probably needs to play a bit under 23s only to get his confidence back up and doing what we know we can do, and maybe get him in that position where one of those players, when they're not playing, they seem better than they perhaps have been, and you know, the memories of what he can do will come back to the fans. And I think he just needs to be taken out of the limelight, doesn't he? Because I thought he was shocking first half.
Yeah, well, I was. Yeah, if you'd had an audio camera on me or a microphone, I'd have been more or less echoing those sentiments. I didn't think he should have started. That's not being wise after the event. I think I put Watkins in my lineup because I felt it had reached that point. Farke was very critical of what he didn't do defensively for one of the goals at Cardiff. He just looks like he's lost, basically, both with and without the ball. He's, you know, without being too harsh, he is a bit of a liability at the minute, and you can't carry any players because all the others really haven't hit their strides to the degree where you need to be to get results if you're Norwich in the Championship. He needs to come out of the side because his season is listing now, and there's been so many various elements to this. You know, there was the whole thing around Middlesbrough where he was pulled away for his, what Farke cited was unprofessionalism, brought him back in. We see the talent isn't in doubt. Look at the goal he scored at Arsenal. But that's very fleeting. More often than not, we've not seen enough from Josh Murphy in a Norwich shirt this season. And only he can. You know, it's not enough to say he's a young player and he's learning the trade now. He's had plenty of exposure. The penny needs to drop, and he needs to realise that. And he only needs to look at his brother and look how he applied himself and the move that he got off the back of that last season. The penny really needs to drop with that guy now, and only he can do it. A phrase has just popped into my head. Farke, speaking about him earlier in the season, said, look, we'll do everything to take them to the door. They need to open it and go through it themselves. Now, his brother did that. James Maddison has certainly done that. Can Josh Murphy do it? It's really only him who he shapes his own career. He really needs to go away. And there was even the episode where one of the goals, wasn't it? Did he score at Barnsley? And there was a bit of the cup tier gesture to the lower Barkley. You know, that's immaturity, really. And he needs to take a step back and realise that there's so much goodwill here from fans, from Farke and his coaches. The environment is here for him to really maximise his potential and his undoubted talent. He's not doing it at the minute. And only he can extract that.
Be interesting when we next decide and are able to discuss Josh Murphy. It'll be interesting what the circumstances are around that. It helped obviously having Marley Watkins back fit, and Marley's introduction in the second half, I thought it was good, it was positive, lots of good signs from him. And he wasn't, of course, the only one coming back. We also had Alex Pritchard, his first start after his pre-season injury. Just how much of a difference did he make, Paddy? Because as Clarkey said, there was a good bit of direct running, but all game he was so busy, and he was finding decent pockets, and everything positive pretty much went through Pritchard, I thought.
Yeah, I think that's an excellent word, busy. Too often you haven't seen that, and Reid, bless him, in that period in the first half where they'd gone behind and he was trying his usual lateral passing, the fans were on his back, because that's not a slight at Harrison Reid. He's in there to build the play, we know that, and he's a very good technical player, but there's too much passivity, you know, when you've got a Reid of Rancic in the side. You know, Alex Pritchard, even in the first 5 minutes, balls were going into Oliveira and he was running beyond, and that's what Farke said to us on Friday afternoon. There hasn't been enough in that final third, almost players gambling from midfield. That's some, and obviously that was encapsulated, as Clarkie said, by the first goal. You know, Pritchard getting the ball centre circle, nothing in his mind, I'm going straight forward here, I'm going to pull the trigger. And that has been so rare across his Norwich's midfield this season, and I think now with him in the side and hopefully with an injury free run, you'll see that far more. You know, Marley Watkins injected far more dynamism, I thought, as well. And that's really, for me, another encouraging facet now, that you throw Tete back in the mix. Tom Tribal came on at the end, and he's probably going to benefit from having a timeout. There's now variety across his midfield. You know, they won't be as predictable as they have been. And as a result, I think, you know, this could be a nice little productive period through the festive period.
Yeah, that is definitely it. And there was just a really little bit. Alex Pritchard substituted after 80 minutes, which I thought was a pretty good effort, given he's not really been able to build up any minutes. Was it Tom Tribal who came on for him? And he, you know, you can just see from Alex Pritchard so often how desperate he is to win football matches. There's no hiding it. He's such a competitive little animal. And just that little bit, I think that can also be quite contagious in a way.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I just think he's a bloke who loves football, loves winning games, and just loves to be on the pitch. And I think that was, when he got going, that was infectious, and you sense that others were picking up as well. And I agree about Watkins. I haven't been his greatest fan this year because I haven't quite known what his best position was, but I thought out there he was making things happen, and he was injecting a little bit of energy and doing a decent job, and that certainly made a difference.
I suppose at this point, as we're kind of going through the team, we have to talk about James Maddison, don't we? Who has featured live on telly for Norwich three times this season. He's scored a goal. I mean, he called the one on Saturday a tap-in, whereas the more you watch it, the further out he seems to get, and the degree of difficulty for the finish seems to increase. Another man of the match performance, you know, takes the assist for the corner as well. He is a star, this little man.
Up in the library at the top of the River End, you know, directly above where it was, and it looked a great finish first time, you know, and I've seen it a few times, and that wasn't easy at all, was it? He had to, you know, he had to get himself in the right position and wrap his foot around it, and, you know, plenty of players would have put it wide, put it straight at the keeper, whatever, put it out for throw, but it just shows the quality he's got, that he could nail that chance he had.
There was a nice, he was asked, as you can hear from the interview, as I mentioned at the start, he was asked by Peter Layton, James Maddison, that some Norwich fans are getting a bit worried that clubs may well come calling for James Maddison in January, and he said, we've just not won in 8 games, it's the last thing on my mind, but everyone will be aware of what James Maddison's doing this year, won't they, Pat?
Yeah, 100%, and it might not be on his mind, but there'll be clubs in the top two divisions who will look at James Maddison and think, there's a young English player who's only going to get better, he's got the raw ingredients, give him the right canvas, and you're seeing this season what he can do in a struggling side. So will he go? Depends how much money's on the table, really, and if there is money on the table, because there'll be a lot of smoke and mirrors over the next few weeks about potential interest and clubs monitoring them, or like we had earlier in the season, Everton apparently sending scouts to watch him. That'll be going on now, you can rest assured, because it's a very small world, and within it, James Maddison's star is on the rise. So could be a nervous little month for Norwich fans, but yeah, if they retain his services beyond January, then I think we can look forward to some more moments like Saturday and like we've seen already this season. He is, for me, the one gold star for Farker has came in the summer, that lad finished the season playing okay, 15 minutes here, 15 minutes there, but he's detected something in him. They've given him a new contract and he's actually been integral. Now, of course, that might not have been how it panned out if Pritchard hadn't got himself injured, but the reality is he did, and because of that, Maddison has responded, and in sharp contrast to what we were saying a little bit earlier about Josh Murphy. So that for me is a major tick for Farker, and as I say, you know, there might be a negative to that in the sense that now other clubs will look at him and think he's a player we want, but then the financial reality at Norwich means if he doesn't go in January and Norwich don't go up, then sadly I think you'll be kissing goodbye to him in the summer.
It's almost an interesting point that we haven't really had much speculation around him. It's like no one wants to let on that they'd be interested. It's almost like a pseudo silence possibly, but there we go. What we did see, of course, was Maddison and Pritchard on the same pitch at the same time. So, and actually, the balance generally seemed okay. And as Pat's mentioned, getting the other bodies in and around it in midfield would definitely help make that happen. We're all pretty confident that they're a duo that can play together.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they're two such quality players. You can't say they can't play together, because you can't keep one of them out to fit the other one in. So I think they work fine together, and they weren't tripping over each other. And it's a big old pitch, there's plenty of room. So I think they can definitely play together.
Yeah, well, I mean, the guy who matters most is the head coach, and he quite clearly feels that good players can play together. I think they're intelligent players as well. You know, they're good technical players, but they're intelligent. They know to make the most of the space that, you know. And I like the fact, I would imagine that those two are looking at each other and they know they're very similar players, and there's probably just a little internal kind of, well, you've done that, I'm going to do this. And that's going to be brilliant because that will spark the rest of them. And you can see that I think Maddison will benefit from having a guy like Pritchard on the team, because apart from anything else, and we've seen this, his performance levels have dipped because there's been so much focus on him and so much, you know, responsibility on his shoulders. You know, Wes hasn't really, you know, made much of an impression this season. I think now Pritchard back in the side, that'll free up Maddison a little bit more, and that even might take him to another level,
which will be very exciting indeed. I wasn't sure whether to mention it. Let's just mention Mario Francic a little bit, because I thought he was okay on Saturday, and I think he's done okay in the last few weeks. I also don't think he was terrible before that. I seem to have got a lot of stick for saying he was okay on Saturday, because apparently he was, you know, one of the best players on the pitch.
I think he's okay. He hasn't really won me over, to be honest. I don't quite see exactly what he is and what he does. He does a little bit here, a little bit there. Occasionally, you know, he wraps his foot around one. I think he's got a good peg on him, and he does a, you know, some good work. And I think, yeah, there's something there, but I'm not a great fan, to be honest. He looks good in the warm-up. He's rat on the keeper's hands in the warm-up.
Have you just said that?
Well, I mean, just said it. Yeah. He does look good in the warm-up.
Well, I think he gets around okay. And I do think he's got a lovely left foot. I just sometimes think he just wants a bit too much time, and that's part of adapting for some time. Yeah, well, I think we were sort of shouting at each other a few times when that happened. I mean, like, there is a player there. It's not like I can't see the player that's there. It's not quite there yet. And also, on Saturday, just because Norwich won, I still didn't think it was quite there yet.
Yeah, no, he's a very good technical player, there's no doubt about it, but is he right for what Norwich have, what they want, what they're trying to do at the minute, what league they're in? You'd have to say no. But, you know, I think in a side on the front foot and playing well, you could accommodate him. I don't think a side who are struggling and scrapping and trying to fight for the next win, it doesn't give you enough, really, because ultimately fans will focus on the things that he can't do rather than what he can do, because the results haven't been good. So it's kind of, well, why aren't the results not good? You know, it's quid pro quo. But I'm not sure how many opportunities he'll get now. You know, if Tribal is and Tete are going to be restored, and we're basically saying Pritchard and Maddison are non-negotiable, then do you stick him in a wide area? I don't know. That said, Farker has shown a lot of faith in the guy. But yeah, I mean, I can see both sides of that debate. But I think on balance, I don't think he's done enough really to say that he should be in the side week in, week out.
Which does lead us very nicely on to where Norwich are now off the back of that win. Sheffield Wednesday have got their own struggles, and they're actually level on points with Norwich now. I think they've both got 27 points, and most people look outside at Sheffield Wednesday and go, well, yeah, but you know, they could go on a run, and we'd, you know, if they did, we'd probably expect them to finish in the top six, whereas most Norwich fans will look at Norwich and go, yeah, I think they've already got far too much ground to make up. Of course, we all head to Leeds on Saturday, which is fun at the best of times, and maybe we'll have a couple more clues there as to whether this is a short term or slightly longer term revival. But yeah, What can Norwich actually go for from here, Clarke?
Well, I think, you know, I know it's a big if, two letters, but a massive word. If we got a win at Leeds, then that really would inject a little bit of renewed faith, wouldn't it? Because with Birmingham, I think, and Burton after that, and Millwall, I mean, if you can win at Leeds, those three games have got to be very winnable. A draw at Leeds, I'd take that now. I'd snap your hand off for it. You know, a defeat by the odd goal when there's a decent display wouldn't be the end of the world, particularly if we can follow up with some points in the following games. If you then go back to the grim days, then you know, you sort of back to
last
square.
Week,
yeah, exactly, yeah. Turn the clock back 7 days. So I think it, you know, it's obviously not it's not a game that's going to determine everything, but I think always following up a positive after a bad run, it's the next game that then sees whether you're going to really start taking some positive strides beyond one game.
Yeah, they've got Brentford at home as well on Sky on Friday night, isn't it, on the Friday night.
So those, you know, the three B's and then Millwall, well, and then Brentford's not going to be easy, of course it's not, but, you know, at home, you know, normally you think you'd be looking at a positive result there.
I mean, Leeds are a curious side because I think they've made some great recruitment decisions from looking on the outside. Some of the players they've got now, the manager seems to have done a reasonably good job. They had a good start and then a real significant stutter, but they're just starting to find their form again now and get their mojo back. So it's not the ideal time to play them, but it's a proper test, isn't it? And actually the sort of test that Norwich have generally been able to adapt to. Is that right? I don't know. Am I being a bit optimistic there, Pad?
Well, you've got to be optimistic after what we saw Saturday second half, but it's difficult to really say with confidence what Norwich you're going to get, because the body of evidence to this stage of the season is they've been good, they've been bad, they've been good, you know. Consistency is the key word. Consistency in results, consistency in terms of performance from week to week, from individuals, collectively, units, back fours, midfields. There just has been no consistent level whatsoever, and consequently, we're going into these games not quite really knowing. Hoping is one thing, expecting is completely different kettle of fish. So yeah, and then as you say, you look at it from the Leeds perspective, that start of the season were very good, not so good of late, and maybe have picked up. You know, there's a lot of clubs going through the same peaks and troughs, but yeah, I would think if Norwich could go there, either win or at worst not get beat, come back to that festive programme, then you're turning for the 2018 and you're hovering around the top 10, then who knows. But they certainly, if they throw in another sort of 6-7 game spell without winning a game from this point, then you know, you might as well pull up the shutters and start planning for the inevitable turnover in the summer, I think.
Oh yeah, that'll be fun. All right then, well, I think we'll wrap it up there, gents. Thank you very much for your time, much appreciated. We will be of course heading to Elland Road, myself, Paddy and Dave Freezer, so follow all the build up and live coverage during the game, and of course Fallout 2. Everything you need is at pinken.com. The Pinken Show is on Wednesday as well, that will be fun, so keep an eye on that on the Facebook page. There you go, we can plug that, which is facebook.com/thepinken, and all sorts of other fun and games, I'm sure. But until then, thanks, gents. Thank you very much for listening, and we'll see you again soon. Goodbye.